Jamil walked back across the room with Stephen held in his arms. Gregory was still clinging to Stephen's hand, so that they moved as a unit. When Jamil was back with the wolves, Richard said, "Gregory is not one of us. He cannot stand with us." I could hear what Jamil said, but I think he was trying to persuade Richard that that wasn't necessary. Richard shook his head, then Jamil made a mistake. He looked back at me, and with his eyes alone, asked for help. He'd done it before, many times. Most of them had. Tonight, Richard saw it, understood it, and didn't tolerate it. He grabbed Gregory's wrist and tried to jerk him away from Stephen. Stephen screamed and reared up in Jamil's arms, clinging with both hands to his brother's arm. I'd had enough. I didn't care if Belle heard it all. I moved across the floor towards the pack. "Richard, you're being cruel." He didn't stop trying to pull them apart. "I thought you wanted me cruel." "I wanted you strong, not cruel." I was almost to them, and not sure what I was going to do when I got there. "You're strong and cruel." "Actually, I'm strong and pragmatic, not cruel." I was beside them now, and I knew I didn't dare touch anyone. If I touched Richard or the twins, it would lead to more violence. I could feel it. Stephen was making a high, piteous noise like a baby rabbit being eaten alive. He was scrambling with his hands, trying to hold on to Gregory. Gregory was crying and trying to hold on to his brother. "Pragmatic is saying that you're making us look weak in front of a council member. Cruel is saying that I'm Bulwark because you don't have the balls to be." He stopped pulling on the twins, and Jamil took that one moment of hesitation to slide away. Of course, that left me facing Richard, alone. And it was one of those moments when I realized how physically imposing he was. Richard was one of those big men who didn't seem big until suddenly they do, and you go, "Oh, God," and it's usually too late. We stood there, glaring at each other. I hadn't been angry until he tried to hurt Stephen and Gregory. But once you get me angry, I usually stay there. I enjoy my anger. It's the only hobby I have. A dozen cruel remarks danced through my head, and I kept my mouth closed. I was afraid of what would fall out if I opened it. I walked forward, closing the remaining distance between us. I got to see something else in his eyes besides anger. Panic. He didn't want me this close. Great. I kept moving forward, and Richard actually moved back a step. Then he seemed to realize what he'd done. When I took another step towards him, he stood his ground, and I walked until the full skirt of my dress brushed his legs. The skirt swirled out and covered the toes of his polished shoes. I was close enough that it would have been more natural to touch each other than to simply stand there as we did. I looked up the length of his body and met his eyes, with the knowledge in my eyes that I knew what was under that conservative suit, every inch of it. Richard wasn't looking at my face when I looked up. He was staring at my décolletage. I took a deep breath, making the mounds of my breasts rise and fall as if a hand were pushing them from underneath. He looked up from my chest and met my eyes. The rage in his face was nearly a pure thing, an anger without purpose, without form. It was like one of those huge wildfires that begins by eating the trees. Then somewhere along the way the fire takes on a life of its own, almost as if it doesn't need fuel anymore. It doesn't need anything to exist. It burns and grows and destroys, not because it needs fuel, but because that's what it does, what it is. I faced Richard's rage with my own. His was new and fresh. It hadn't had time to burn its way down to his soul, to hollow out a space that held nothing but the anger. Mine was old, almost as old as I could remember. If Richard wanted to fight, we could fight. If he wanted to fuck, we could fuck. At that moment, either one would have been almost equally damaging to both of us. His beast rose to his anger like a dog to its owner's voice. Any strong emotion could bring on the change, and this was about as strong as emotions got for Richard. The energy of his beast flared like heat off a road on a summer's day, a visible wave of power. It danced along the bare skin of my body. Once upon a time, he'd brought me using nothing but his beast thrusting through my body. But tonight, we'd do other things. I doubted they'd be as fun. Musette glided close to us in her blood-splattered white dress. Her eyes were blue again. She wove her hand through the energy of Richard's beast, playing between the two of us, not touching, literally playing with the energy. Oh, you would be very good to eat. Très bon. Très, très bon. She laughed, and it was the kind of laugh that would make you look twice in a bar. A laugh made to get attention. The sound didn't go with the blood drying like a mask on her face. Richard let the rage fill his eyes and directed it at her. It was a look that I think would have backed up anyone else in the room. Musette laughed again. Richard turned to face her. His anger really didn't care who the target was. Anyone would do. This is none of your concern. When we are done with pack business, then, and only then, will we talk to the vampires. Musette threw her head back and chortled. There was no other word for it. She laughed until tears leaked down her face, carving runnels in the drying blood. The laughter died slowly. Then, when she opened her eyes again, they were honey brown. Richard's breath caught in his throat. I was close enough to him to know that he stopped breathing, just for a moment. The smell of roses was everywhere. You remember me, Wolf? I can feel it in your fear. That purring contralto shivered down my skin, and I saw Richard shudder, too. I will play with you later, Wolf. But for now, and she turned and looked at Asher, for now I will play with him. Asher was still pressed to the wall, doing that utter stillness that the old ones can do. He had sunk into the silence of eternity, trying to make this not happen, trying to hide in plain sight. It wasn't going to work. As Musette's body glided towards him, Belle began to spill out of the dark gold brown, overlaying the white like a ghost. The black hair spreading like the phantom flames around her, moved by a wind that trickled through the room, the wind of Belle's power. What's happening? Richard whispered, and I don't even know if he meant to have an answer, but I replied anyway. Musette is Belmort's surrogate. His eyes were all for Belle's ghostly form overriding the other body when he said, What does that mean exactly? It means we're in a shitload of trouble. He looked at me then. I am Ulfric, Anita. That does not change just because some high-ranking vampire comes to town. Be Ulfric, Richard. Great. Knock yourself out. But don't destroy all of us while you do it. Some of the anger had leaked away on the tide of fear. It was impossible to be up close and personal with Belle's power and not fear it. I am either Ulfric or I am not, Anita. I am either master or slave. I cannot be both. I raised eyebrows at him. Yeah, actually, you can. I held up a hand. I don't have time for this tonight, Richard. Tomorrow, if we're all still alive, then we can discuss it, okay? He frowned. She is not here in flesh, Anita. It is only metaphysical games. How bad could it be? I realized in that moment that Richard was still living in that other world, the world where people played fair and horrible things never really happened. It must have been a peaceful place to live. The planet that people like Richard called home. I'd always admired the view, but I'd never lived there. The trouble was that Richard didn't live there either. The first scream cut through the silence. The Were-Leopards had all backed away, crouching at Belmort's feet. Only Micah stayed standing. He'd put himself in front of Asher, but he was small like me, and he couldn't hide Asher completely. I looked at Richard, and he had a look of such hurt in his eyes. He was never going to truly wake up and smell the blood. He wasn't going to truly change. I turned away from him and started walking towards Asher and Micah. Jean-Claude moved up beside me, offered me his hand, and I took it. No one else moved with us. The Were-Rats couldn't attack Musette. The Were-Leopards were doing their best, but it wasn't going to be enough. Only the wolves could have helped us, and Richard wouldn't let them. In that moment, I wondered how long it would be before I started hating Richard. Chapter 48. I couldn't figure out why Asher was screaming. There was no blood, no rending of flesh, but he screamed all the same. Then, as we got closer, I watched the flesh of his face begin to seep away. It was as if his skin collapsed around the bones of his skull, as if Belle's touch were draining him dry, not of blood, but of everything. I risked a glance at Jean-Claude, and he looked stricken. A second before his face showed nothing. I felt him pull away into that emptiness where he hid. She could drain him to death this way. His voice was remarkably empty. But you're immune to it, right? She didn't make you. She is our soi-disant, None of us are immune to her touch. I stopped and pushed back. Then you stay. I don't need the two of you to worry about. He didn't argue, but his gaze went past me to Asher. I wasn't sure he even heard me, and there wasn't time to check. I was half running when Micah pushed Belle back, pushed her back using his whole body, broke her touch on Asher's face. Asher collapsed slowly down the wall, and Belle's glowing face kissed Micah. The moment their lips touched, I felt the ardor fill the room like hot water, spilling and stinging drops across my skin. It froze me in mid-step, made me stumble. I stood there, caught between Asher against the wall and Micah lost in that glowing embrace. I knew that I could have drained Micah to death with the ardor over a matter of days, but part of me knew that Belle could do it faster. Asher's hand reached out to me, skeletal thin, like sticks and paper. Micah was trying to push himself back from Luzette, Belle's body, but she rode him, arms at his back, glowing crimson lips like a red fog across his face. I had a moment of feeling Asher dying, fading, for lack of a better word. Jean-Claude went to him, but I knew that Jean-Claude had no life to share. Then the cross taped to my chest blazed to life. It burned against my flesh as if the black tape held all the heat in. I half screamed as I ripped the tape away and the cross billed out into the light, white, hot, like a captive star on a chain. Micah stumbled back from Belle Morte. Jean-Claude spilled the black velvet coat over himself and Asher. The other vampires hid their faces and hissed at the light. I saw movement from the corner of my eye, a second before Angelito slammed into me. There was no one to stop him now. The cross was a two-edged sword. He grabbed me in one arm, completely off the ground, the other hand wrapping around the cross. I poked him in the throat with three fingers, stiffened to a spear point. He gagged and dropped me, but held on to the cross, and as I fell, the chain broke, cutting into my back as it came away. The moment the cross was his, the glow began to fade. Luzette's body turned to me, but her eyes were pools of dark gold fire. And it wasn't a ghostly image superimposed over her body this time. It was as if I was seeing double. My eyes saw Luzette with the wrong color of eyes, but inside my head it was Belle. Belle in the flesh, a little taller than Luzette, long black hair falling to her knees in waves, the dark gold of her dressing gown showing a triangle of white flesh, her face like something sculpted from a pearl. Her lips a perfect red pout. She wrapped white hands around my arms, long dark nails, playing along the velvet of the sleeves. She pressed me against her body and leaned in to lay a kiss with that mouth upon mine. A small voice in my head screamed, "Don't let her touch you." But I couldn't move, couldn't get away, wasn't sure I wanted to get away. That red, red mouth hovered over mine. Her breath pushed against my lips. The world smelled of roses. Then suddenly, I could taste Asher's kiss upon my lips, tasted it as if I had kissed him but a second before. That one taste opened my eyes, helped draw me back from Belle's mouth, helped me want to draw back. Her eyes stared down at me, pools of golden fire like brown water in sunlight. I realized that I had swooned, and she had held me as if she dipped me in a dance. Her hand was behind my head, raising me up to meet her kiss. I felt movement and rolled my eyes back to see Richard. Belle saw him too. "Interfere, and I will raise the ardor in you again, Wolf. You brought no women with you. Did you think that would save you? It won't. The ardor only wants to be fed, Wolf. It doesn't care how." Richard hesitated. I could taste his fear in my mouth, but underneath that was still the taste of Asher's kiss. Jean-Claude was suddenly beside Belle. "It is me you want." He spread his arms in a wide, dramatic gesture that spread the darkness of his coat, spilled his hair around him. "I am here." I don't know what would have happened or what she would have said, because the next thing that overwhelmed me was the memory of Asher's lovemaking. It came on me like it had once with Jason, but this was more, worse, better. It bowed my back, convulsed me into Belle's arms, surprised a scream from me, made my hand scratch at the air and Belle's face. She dropped me then, and I saw dimly, as if through a white window, her hands grab Jean-Claude. Richard caught me before I hit the ground, cradled me in his arms. He looked so worried. His hand touched my face. "Anita, are you hurt?" I managed to shake my head, but even with Richard this close, his face soft and worried about me, I turned my head to look towards Asher. I couldn't help myself. Asher's hair was like golden Christmas tree tinsel, lifeless, hanging around a face that was more skull than flesh. His lips were a thin, hard line around teeth that were mostly fangs. Only his eyes were still Asher, pools of pale blue fire, as if a winter sky could burn. The moment I saw his eyes, I tried to crawl out of Richard's arms, tried to crawl to Asher. "Anita! Anita, what's wrong?" He held me, turned me to look at him. I found my voice, but all I could say was, "Asher." He glanced at the fallen vampire, and the disgust was plain on his face. "I know, Anita. I'm sorry." I wasn't sure what he was apologizing about, and I didn't care. There was something else I should have been more worried about, something I'd forgotten. But I couldn't think of anything except Asher's eyes, and that I had to go to him. Had to. Richard stood up. Suddenly, with me still in his arms, I heard scrabbling, as if a thousand tiny claws, rats, thousands of rats, flowed in a furry, squeaking wave across the floor of the cave. Asher's power receded, and I knew it had cost him dear to let me go. Knew in that instant that I was the only one who could feed him enough energy to keep him alive. Richard made a small sound of dismay and turned so that I could see what had paled him. The two vampires that had the tops of their heads blown off were slowly rising to their feet. They were healed. Those strange cat-eye faces were whole. There wasn't even a scar to mark where the bullets had struck. "Fuck," I said. One of the weir hyena's nerve broke, and he fired into the squirming mass of rats. The next sound was a second gunshot, and he fell with a hole in his back, fell into the mob of rats. They boiled over him, and his body vanished from sight. The sounds, though, nothing masked the sounds. I hadn't been close enough to the gunshots to be deafened, and for the first time I was sorry about that. The sound of tiny teeth tearing flesh, squeaking voices, squabbling over what used to be a man, seemed to drown us all. One of the weir rats was staring at the gun in his hand, as if it had suddenly appeared. He turned a white face back towards us. I think he mouthed, "I'm sorry," before Bobby Lee's scream, "Guns down! Guns fucking down, now! No on fire!" He threw his own gun spinning across the room, and the other weir rats followed suit. Some of the weir hyenas lowered their guns, but only one threw his away. Bobby Lee went to his knees and clasped his hand on top of his head. Claudia did it next. Then one by one, all the weir rats followed. I knew why. They were afraid Musette, Belle, would use them against us. But I wouldn't have wanted to be kneeling on the floor when all the rats found me. I finally could think enough to remember that Jean-Claude might be fighting for his life. But he wasn't. Belle held his beautiful face in her hands, but he was still standing. His own hands cupped hers, pressing her hands against his face. His face was still perfect, untouched. A soft smile played along his lips. It was Belle's eyes that were wide, her face that was unhappy. He couldn't eat her as she had Asher, but strangely, she seemed to be having trouble eating him. I knew that Belle Musette had called the rats. I didn't think she'd had a thing to do with the recuperative powers of the two children of the night. They were half crouched, one helping the other to stand, but they weren't looking at Belle or anyone else. I had a moment to wonder if they were really going to hold a grudge. When the wave of the rats jumped on the first were-hyena, tiny teeth trying to tear through the black leather. People were screaming, and the were-hyenas began to fire into the small rats, blasting their bodies into red ruin. But there were so many of them. The rats parted around the kneeling were-rats like they were big rocks in a stream. "Can you stand?" Richard said. "I think so." He lowered me gently to the floor, then he glanced at the were-wolves, who were still standing in an unhappy group. Apparently, Richard's point to Sylvie had been violent enough that none of them had disobeyed. Well, Jason was struggling in a joint lock that Shang-Da had on his arm, but no one else had tried to help. What the hell had Richard done to Sylvie? The world suddenly smelled like the musk of wolf fur, the damp richness of leaf mold, the Christmas tree scent of evergreen, as if my furred shoulder had just brushed it with dew still on it, on a calm, still morning. I felt that piece of me that was Richard's beast pour up through my body and ease across my skin, like wind. Richard looked at me with amber wolf eyes. He opened the marks between us, opened them wide. He threw back his head and howled, and a dozen throats answered him. Then the werewolves moved forward like a black wave of destruction. Shangja and Jamil stayed at Richard's back, and they showed claws where fingernail should have been, the half-change of the very alpha. For the rest, I felt them slip their skin, felt the rush of energy like small tugging explosions in my gut. I could feel now that Jean-Claude had shut his end of our triumvirate down, as tight as he could. I could look at him, but for once I couldn't feel him at all. He expected to die, and he didn't want to take us with him. I found one of the guns that the were-rats had discarded, and felt instantly better. The weight of it in my hand was a very good thing. Unfortunately, I wasn't the only human servant that had found a gun. Angelito fired at a were-hyena, sending him spinning around, falling into the mass of biting rats. He screamed and writhed, trying to beat them off of him. I shot into the rats close to him, but there were too many. It was like trying to shoot water. You moved it, but didn't hurt it. I knew one way to stop the rats. I sighted down the barrel at Musette, Belle's head. If I killed her, the rats would go back to wherever they came from. I let out my breath, stilled myself for a shot that was far too close to Jean-Claude for my comfort. A rat jumped on my hand, dug its teeth into me. The wave of them began to jump on my dress, their claws catching in the heavy fabric. I screamed, and suddenly Maiko was there, half-crouched, hissing at the rats. Those on the floor scattered, squealing in terror. The ones already on my body seemed immune to the fear. He helped me pick them off and threw them into the scurrying mass. The rats poured over their injured comrades and ate them too. The rats seemed more afraid of the were-leopards than of the wolves, and the were-leopards began to spread out from the wall, hissing, sending the small rodents back, gaining an ever-widening space. The two vampires that I'd thought I'd killed had grown claws and fangs that no vampire ever had. They were wading through the werewolves in a spray of blood and white bone. One great hand was raised at Shang Da's back, and without thinking, I fired, able to aim because I stood in the circle the leopards had made. The vampire's head exploded again, and I knew now that if we wanted him to stay dead, we needed to take his heart and burn it all. Scattering the ashes over different bodies of running water wouldn't have hurt either. Shang Da had time for the barest of glances my way. Then the other vampire launched himself and sent all three of them to the floor for the rats to engulf. Belle's voice rose over the noise like a storm, a thunderclap that froze all of us in mid-action. Even the furred sea of rats froze. Enough! She stepped back from Jean-Claude, and he began to laugh. It wasn't his magical laugh that slithered across the skin and made you think of sex. It was just laughter, pure unadulterated joy. We will fight no more, Belle said, and though her voice was still deep, it had lost its sexy purr. She sounded not angry, but put out, as if she'd gotten badly surprised. The rats pulled back like a furry ocean draining away. They squeaked and squealed, but they left. Most of the werewolves were covered in tiny crimson bite marks. The remains of the fallen were-hyena looked like it had been mauled by something much bigger. Jean-Claude found its voice, and it was as joyous as his laughter had been. You cannot feed from me. You cannot take back what you gave me, because I am no longer of your line. I am Sardesan of my own line now. Belle stared at him, her face that blank emptiness that I knew so well. She was hiding how she really felt. I know what it means, Jean-Claude. You can no longer treat me as a lesser member of your line, Belle. There are different niceties that are observed between two Sardesans. She smoothed her hands down her full skirt, and I knew that gesture. It was one of Jean-Claude's. Nervous. Belle Morte was nervous. I was within my rights to do as I have done, for I did not know, nor did you. True enough, but now that we do know, you must take all of your people and go. Leave our lands tonight, for if you are found in our territory come tomorrow night, your lives will be forfeit. You would not truly kill my Musette. But her voice held the lightest thread of uncertainty. To be able to kill Musette legally with no political repercussions. He made a small sound. That has been the fondest wish of many a Vester vampire. And I will do it, Belle. You can taste the truth of my words. She stiffened, just a little. I will retain control of Musette until we are out of your lands. She has an unfortunate temper at times. It would be a bad thing if she lost her temper here in St. Louis, Jean-Claude said, and his voice was empty, the joy seeping away. Cherry appeared at my elbow. Sorry to interrupt. I'm not an expert on vampires, but I think Asher's dying. Chapter 49. Asher lay against the far wall. He was a skeleton with dried parchment skin. He lay on a bed of golden Christmas tree tinsel, the glorious remnant of his hair. His clothes had collapsed around a sunken body, like a deflated balloon. His eyes were closed, and the only roundness of his eyes underneath that skin was flesh and solid. Everything else seemed to have withered away. I fell to my knees beside him, because suddenly I couldn't stand.
He is not dead.
Valentina's child voice came, but she stayed out of reach. She offered comfort, but she wasn't stupid. I looked down at what was left of all that beauty, and didn't believe her.
See with something other than your eyes, ma petite, Jean-Claude said.
He didn't kneel, but stayed standing, facing Belle Morte, almost as if he didn't dare turn his back on her. I did what Jean-Claude told me to do. I looked with power instead of my physical eyes. I could feel a spark inside Asher. Some small part of him still burned. He wasn't dead, but he might as well have been. I looked up at Jean-Claude. He's too weak to take blood.
And he has no human servant, Belle Morte said. No animal to call. He is without.
And she paused, seemed to think upon her next word. Finally, she said,
resources.
Resources. That was a nice word for it. But whatever the word you used, she was right. Asher had nothing to feed on but blood, and if he was too weak to feed on that... I couldn't finish the thought, even in my head.
Belle Morte could save him.
Jean-Claude's voice was neutral, empty. I looked up at him, then past him to her. What do you mean?
She made him, and she is a Sardessan. She could simply give him back some of the energy that she stole from him.
I stole nothing,
Belle said, and her own neutral voice held a hint of anger.
You cannot steal what is yours by right, and Asha is mine. All of him, Jean-Claude, every piece of his skin, every drop of his blood, he lives only through my sufferance, and without that, he dies.
Jean-Claude made a small gesture.
Perhaps stole is not the correct term, but you can restore some of his life energy. You could bring him back enough to be able to feed on blood.
I could, but I will not.
Her anger was like a scalding wind, biting along my skin where it touched. Why not? I asked it, because no one else seemed willing to, and I had to know.
I do not have to explain myself to you, Anita.
I still had the gun in my hand. Suddenly it was heavy, as if it had reminded me it was there. Or maybe the shock of lifting it was enough for me to feel again. I stood up and aimed the gun at Musette's chest. If Asher dies, so does Musette.
You have not had much luck killing vampires with your little gun, Belle said,
and she sounded confident. Of course, it wasn't her body that I was about to riddle with bullets. I think the mother's children are special cases. They probably can survive pretty much everything but fire. I don't think that's true of Musette. I had to let out the breath in my body, so that I was still as I could get. My free hand was resting at my lower back, half cradled on my buttocks. It was my favorite position for target shooting.
Angelito will stop you, she said simply.
I looked back to find Angelito held on his knees by three werewolves, but hey, if he makes a nuisance of himself, he can die too. He probably won't survive me killing Musette anyway. Belle Morte's brown eyes widened just a bit.
You would not dare.
Sure I would. And I smiled, but it didn't reach my eyes, because I had them on Musette's body. I was ignoring Belle's shape over Musette, concentrating on seeing that white dress with all its dried blood. The more I concentrated, the more of Musette I could see, like a double image. Musette's chest in my physical eyes, and Belle's ghostly overlay in my head. It made me wonder how much of Belle everyone else had been seeing, or if I'd had a better show because of my necromancy. I'd ask someone later. Much later.
Jean-Claude, you cannot allow this.
Ma Petite has her moments of rashness, but in this moment she has reminded me that the rules are not the same now. I am within my rights as Sire de Sang to punish one of your people for harming my second in command. It is perfectly within our laws.
I did not know that Asha was the second in command to Sire de Sang when I drank from him.
My arm was still steady, but it wouldn't last. You can't hold a one-arm shooting stance forever. Hell, you can't hold any shooting stance forever. You know now, I said, and he's not dead yet. So you're killing the second in command of another Sire de Sang with foreknowledge.
We are within our rights to take Musette's life in payment for Asher's, Jean-Claude said. You should be more careful, Belle. Sending people you value far away from you makes it so much harder to keep them safe.
I was fighting for my arm not to tremble. Eventually, I'd lose. Let me make this easy for you, Belle. Help Asher now, or I kill Musette. The one thing that was the same in both the vision of my eyes and the vision of my head was those honey brown eyes. Those eyes looked at me, and I felt the draw on them. She wanted me to lower my gun and my arm to hurt, so why didn't I? My arm started to lower, and I caught myself a moment before Jean-Claude touched my shoulder. I put the arm back where I'd had it, but just lowering and raising it had helped diminish the lactic acid buildup. I could hold the stance for much longer now.
If you wish to play games with Musette's life, that is up to you, Jean-Claude said, and his voice danced over my skin, made my body shiver, made my hand convulse, and only practice kept my finger from squeezing the trigger. But I didn't tell him to stop, because Belle had used her mark on me to cloud my mind. It had been a long time since a vampire had gotten to me so casually. Jean-Claude's sex ran over my skin, while the fear ran like ice through the rest of me. Belle wasn't defeated, not even close. Arrogance would get more of us killed. So no arrogance, just truth.
What you have to ask yourself, Belle, I said, in a voice that was very quiet because I was concentrating on my breathing, trying to be still for when I fired, is
your love for Musette stronger than your hatred for Asher?
You do not hate lesser beings, Anita. You merely punish them.
Her voice sounded so sure of itself. Jean-Claude said one word.
Liar.
Those dark honey-flamed eyes flicked to him, and there was no love lost in that look. She hated Jean-Claude, too. She hated them both. They had told me why. They were the only two men who had ever left her bed voluntarily, as far as she knew it. They had deserted her, and no one leaves Belle Morte, because no one would want to. Strangely, their leaving had damaged her sense of self. But I didn't share this knowledge, because hurting Belle Morte's pride wouldn't help us. To salvage her pride, she'd let Asher and Musette die. I was almost sure of it. I swallowed the words and fought to control my face, but I'd forgotten that she was Sire de Sang, and she'd marked me once before. It wasn't my face I had to worry about. Her voice came in my head like a dream, riding on the scent of roses.
My pride is not so fragile a thing, Anita.
Jean-Claude's kiss on my cheek chased back the scent of roses and that purring voice.
Ma petite, are you well?
I nodded. Prove it, I said. Heal Asher. Jean-Claude didn't ask to whom I was speaking. He'd heard through me, or he'd guessed, or he didn't bother to question because we were running out of time.
You will talk him to death,
Valentina said. Everyone but me looked at the child vampire. I was still fighting to keep a target on Musette's white-clad chest.
If you do not give him the kiss of life soon, he will be beyond even your powers, Belle Morte,
Valentina said. Belle fought to keep her face calm, but the anger leaked through the room. Or maybe I was just more sensitive to it.
Have you changed sides, petite Morte?
No, But I do not wish to lose Musette by accident. If you choose Asher's death, that is one thing. To simply miss the chance to save him, another.
I wanted badly to turn and look at Valentina, but I kept my gaze on Musette, on Belle. Besides, Valentina's face would have been like the old ones when they were hiding themselves or risking themselves. Blank, empty, a lovely mask. Something passed between them, something I could not read. Belle took a deep, impatient breath, smoothed her skirts, and began to walk forward. It wasn't quite the graceful slide that Musette's body normally had. I wondered if vampires had trouble gliding when they were nervous, because Belle was nervous. I could feel it. I lowered the gun as she moved, because if she was going to save Asher, Musette lived. That was the deal. Besides, my shoulder and hand were beginning to ache. If I'd known I was going to have to keep the stance so long, I'd have gone for a two-handed stance. Belle Mort seemed to collect herself as she moved across the room, so that by the time she reached Asher she was gliding, and Musette's white dress was completely lost to Belle's dark gold, at least to my eyes. She knelt by Asher's body. I couldn't think of it as anything else but a body. I was already distancing myself from him. I realized with something like shock that I didn't believe she'd save him. He felt so dead, so very dead. Jean-Claude's hand squeezed my shoulders, and I realized that he was shielding from me, hard. He didn't want to share his feelings right now, and I didn't blame him. They were too personal for sharing, too frightening. Richard was gone, too. I actually had to glance at him to make sure he was still in the room. That's how tight he was shielding. I wasn't sure when he went away behind his shields, which seemed strange. I should have noticed. He caught my look, and he couldn't keep the compassion or the pain off his face. I don't think it was pain for Asher. Jean-Claude's hands tensed and the movement brought my attention back to Belle. Her hair fell out around her like a black cloak, so that the gold dress showed only in hints through all that blackness. I felt Jean-Claude gather himself, like it was a physical effort to gather his will. Then he sighed, and he shook himself like a bird settling its feathers. He stepped out from behind me and offered me his arm, very formally. I hesitated for a heartbeat, then slid my arm through his. He was still shielding from me, still hiding his emotions, but I didn't need to be anything but his friend to know what he was thinking. It hurt his heart to see Asher reduced to this. It hurt me, and I didn't have the centuries of history with the man. He walked us forward, towards the kneeling vampire and what was left of the person that we both loved. I would never know if my love for Asher was because of Jean-Claude's feelings for him. It probably was, but I couldn't separate my feelings from Jean-Claude's. That should have panicked me, but it didn't. I was tired of being scared all the time. I was ready to try and be as brave with my heart as I usually was with the rest of me. Besides, I'd been careful with Richard, and in the end we'd broken each other's hearts. I glanced back at him as I walked forward on Jean-Claude's arm. My heart still tugged at the sight of him. Earlier today I'd been ready for a reconciliation. I was always ready for a reconciliation with Richard, any time he gave an inch. The trouble was, he kept taking back that inch. He caught me looking at him, and there was something in his eyes, a pain, a loss, as deep as the ocean, as wide as the sea. I loved him. I really loved him. Maybe I always would. I had this horrible urge to run to him, to let him sweep me up in his arms, to chase that hurt from his eyes. But he probably wouldn't sweep me up in his arms. He would probably just look at me, uncomprehending, and that would make me hate him. I didn't want to hate Richard. I turned away from him. I didn't want him to see the longing, the loss, or the first stirrings of hate on my face. I felt Richard beside me before he touched me. I had a moment of surprise while I gazed up into his face. His face was as close to unreadable as he could get. He didn't sweep me up into his arms, but he did offer me his arm. I hesitated, as I had with Jean-Claude. Then slowly, I slid my arm through his. He pressed his hand over mine, so warm, so solid, pressing me against the solid weight of his muscular forearm. I lowered my eye so he wouldn't see how it affected me. We were all shielding like a son of a bitch, trying to stay safe in our own thoughts. Richard and Jean-Claude exchanged a look over my head. I don't know what the look was supposed to mean. It should have seemed silly to be exchanging any looks when all we had to do was open the marks that made us a triumvirate. Then we could have nearly read each other's minds. But this is the first time in months that Richard was at our side. I think all three of us were being as careful as we knew how to be. Chapter 50. Belle knelt over Asher, her head lowered as if she were kissing him. But she held herself off his body, one hand on the floor, the other against the wall. The kiss looked so intimate. But she went to great pains not to touch him more than she had to. An intimate act ruined. I should have been able to feel the power she was pushing into him, but I was shielding too tight. I wasn't good enough at shielding to filter out and in what I choose. When I shielded this hard, I shielded everything out. I wanted to feel what she was doing. I wanted to sense whether that faint spark inside Asher was growing. I opened just a touch, like widening the shutter on a camera. Only a little opening, only enough to reach out and touch that spark. I tasted Asher's kiss upon my mouth, as if I had drunk a wine that tasted of him. The spark had become a flame, a cold flame that filled his body, and still Belle poured energy into him. Asher screamed through my mind, and that silent scream staggered me, would have knocked me to my knees if Richard and Jean-Claude hadn't caught me.
"Anita, what's wrong?" Richard asked. "Ma petite, are you well?"
There was no time to explain. I pulled free of both of them, and they didn't fight me. I grabbed Belle by the shoulder and the hair, and it was almost shocking to feel Musette's careful curls crush under my hand as I jerked her back. I was expecting to feel Belle's waves under my hand. But Belle wasn't here, not really. She never had been here. She was not an illusion, but not exactly real either. I flung her away from Asher, sending her sliding across the floor on the slick white cloth of Musette's dress. But it was Belle's voice that thundered through the room.
"How dare you lay hands on me?"
"You were trying to bind him to you again, as of old. He doesn't want to be bound."
"He will fade and die without the power that I can breathe into him."
She looked around as if she expected someone to help her to her feet. The only people that would have been willing to help her were under guard, and no one else made a move. She finally stood on her own, but with nothing near to grab onto, and an old-fashioned corset on. Graceful, it was not. Good to know that some fashion even a vampire can't make work. Belle turned eyes that glittered with brown fire to me.
"Asher will die without me. Look at him. See what is left of him. It is not enough to survive."
Her power had poured some flesh in it under that dry skin, but not much. It was as if I could see the individual muscle and ligaments under the skin, like a physiology diagram, to show where all the attachment points are. But it was not like a person. The hair was still a dry nest of golden tinsel, and the skin like faded parchment stretched over an obscenely thin frame. But the eyes looked so human, except for that extraordinary ice-blue color. Even when he'd been human, his eyes could have never looked anything but extraordinary. Asher was in there, in those eyes. He was trapped in that fragile, half-dead shell. He gazed up at me, and I felt the weight of everything he was in his eyes.
"Blood may save his life," Belle said, "but it will not give him back what he has lost. Only his maker, or the one who has taken his essence, can give it back."
She stood there, with her shining darkness coming out of the eyes in Musette's face. She didn't add that since she was both Asher's maker and the one who had stolen his essence, only she could return him to his former glory. Belle Mort had a little too much class to point out the obvious, but it hung unsaid in the air. "He just needs power," I said. "It doesn't have to be yours."
"If he had a human servant or an animal to call, but he has nothing," Belle said, and there was a tone of satisfaction in her voice that she couldn't or didn't try to hide. "He is alone, and binding himself to me again is the only choice he has. Unless you wish him to spend the rest of eternity as he is now."
The note of satisfaction slid into cruelty, without blinking an eye.
"You can't leave him like this," Richard said.
And there was pity on his face, yes, but more, there was horror.
"Being tied to Belle Mort isn't worse than this."
"If you had ever known her embrace," Jean-Claude said, "you might not be so quick to decide." Richard looked at him, then back at Asher, then at Belle Mort.
"I don't understand."
"No," I said, "you don't." Then I looked up at him, touched his arm very lightly. "Think of yourself trapped forever with Reyna." A look of disgust and personal revulsion skipped across his face before he could hide it. I still carried a piece of Raina's Moonin, her spirit memory, in me. She was a sexual sadist, but she'd also fiercely protected the very people she tortured. The woman had needed some serious therapy. In the end, the only therapy she'd gotten had been silver bullets. I never felt bad about killing Raina. Funny that. Richard nodded.
I understood that, but...
He made a helpless gesture towards Asher.
This is not...
He seemed at a loss for words. I couldn't blame him. I had no words at the thought of this being Asher's fate for the next few centuries. It wasn't bearable. It simply wasn't. But I couldn't make Bell give him the energy without strings attached. It was the nature of the vampire energy that there was always strings attached. It was designed to bind a vampire to its maker, and through its maker to the council, or to the entire power structure of their world. Everything would fall apart if he didn't belong to somebody. There are masterless shapeshifters, but no masterless vampires. There are vampires who have lost their masters, but they are compelled to find a new master, to swear a new blood oath, to hunt someone else to rule them. A truly lesser vampire can even die without a master vampire to rule them. They go to sleep at dawn and never wake up again. I knew all of this, knew all of it, and didn't care. I could feel Asher's, not thoughts, but will. He preferred a clean death to this, or to being Bell's slave again. I dropped to my knees beside him. I could give him a clean death. I knew all about death. I started to touch him. My hand hesitated. I didn't want to touch him. Didn't want to feel that once living skin turn to this. Didn't want my last memory of him to be this. But I hate cowardice, almost worse than anything else. And if Asher could be trapped inside this body, then I could touch him one last time. I laid my hand against his face, gently, oh, so gently. The skin felt thin as paper, dried and brittle. I was afraid if I pushed, my fingers would go through his skin like the pages of an ancient book handled too roughly. I'd forgotten that all vampire powers are stronger with touch. 1 second I was holding his face as delicately as I could. The next moment, I had collapsed across his body, and I was writhing with the memory of Asher's body on mine. Hands grabbed me back, ripped me away from Asher, and I fought those hands, drove my elbow back into a groin. The hands didn't let go, but dimly, I heard someone yelling my name. Anita! 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 Over and over. I blinked, and it was like waking. But I knew my eyes hadn't been closed. Richard's hands were still on me, but he was standing like something hurt. I opened my mouth to apologize, but what came out wasn't an apology. Why did you stop us?
I thought you were going to crush him.
Staring up into his so sincere face, I knew he meant it. Hadn't I just moments before been afraid I'd shove a finger through Asher's brittle skin? But somehow, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Somehow, I knew he was a lot more durable than he appeared. Jean-Claude came to stand beside me, and the look on his face said that he'd figured out what Richard hadn't. But Richard wasn't good with the dead. It wasn't his area of specialty. Jean-Claude touched my face, gently, as if afraid I'd break.
He fed from you, from your memory of him.
I nodded.
Yes. How many vampires can you serve?
Bell asked. Apparently Jean-Claude hadn't been the only one to notice. I realized that she thought Asher had marked me, but that wasn't exactly it. He hasn't marked me, Bell, if that's what you think.
Then how can he feed from your strength?
Surprise, I said. I don't think that Jean-Claude is the only vampire that's gained new power.
This is not possible.
But it's true, I said, and I didn't try to keep the triumph out of my voice. We didn't need her now. We didn't fucking need her now. Richard was still holding my arms. I looked up at him. Let me go, Richard. He frowned down at me. He either didn't understand or didn't want to. I repeated myself more gently. Let go, Richard. Please. His eyes flickered to Asher lying against the wall, still looking mostly dead.
The last time we talked about this, you had the same rule I had. No one feeds off of you.
I searched his face, while he gazed at what was left of Asher's beauty. I tried to see something in that gaze that I could talk to, explain things to, but I wasn't sure there was anyone in there that would understand. If I don't let him feed Richard, he'll be trapped like he is right now. He won't die. He won't decay. He'll just exist, like that. He tore his gaze away from Asher and looked at me.
He didn't take blood.
It's more like an energy feed, like the Ardur. It suddenly occurred to me that Richard might not know that Asher really, truly was in my bed. I'd pretended in the past with more than one man that he was my boyfriend or lover, to fool the bad guys. Richard might believe that it was just a game again. Now wasn't the time to explain all the gory details. There would be time later to find out if Richard had meant what he said in my mind, in the Jeep, that he didn't care who I had sex with, because we weren't dating. If he'd meant it, it would upset me. If he hadn't meant it, then knowing about Asher would upset him. Either way, it could wait. He still hadn't let go of my arms.
Have you let Asher feed on you before?
I didn't know what I would have answered because he let go of one of my arms. He reached up in a slow hand to touch my chin. I knew what he was going to do, and I couldn't stop it. He turned my head to one side and exposed the vampire bites on the side of my neck.
When did you start sharing blood?
Last night. He lowered his hand and I turned to meet his eyes. One look was enough. He, like me, thought sex was the lesser evil. The problem with something being a lesser evil is that something else had to be the greater evil.
Is it just Jean-Claude, or...
His gaze flicked to Asher.
We'll talk about this tomorrow, Richard, I promise. But right now, I need to help Asher.
He shook his head.
Are those Jean-Claude's marks on your neck?
I sighed and looked down at the floor. I made myself meet his eyes. But damn it, I didn't have time or energy for this, not right now. No, I said. Again, his gaze flicked to Asher.
His?
Yes.
How can you let them feed off of you?
If I hadn't let Asher feed last night, then tonight he'd be dead or enthralled to Belmort for the rest of eternity. It's one of the reasons we did it.
You knew he'd be able to feed?
He frowned at me. I shook my head. No, but Musette had claimed him for Bell because he didn't belong to anyone. We made sure he belonged to us.
Us?
He actually looked at Micah first. Micah's face was as neutral as he could manage. Not Micah. Jean-Claude. He looked at the vampire, then back to Micah.
How could you let her do this?
I'd feed him myself, if I thought it would help, Micah said. Richard's eyes widened, and the look on his face was uncomprehending.
I don't understand that.
Micah just looked at him for a moment, then looked at me, and there was something in his eyes that said he understood some of what all this cost me, cost us both, cost us all. Richard had let go of my arm now. In fact, he'd taken a step back from me as if he didn't want to be that close. He acted as if I'd done something unclean. If only he knew. Or maybe the sex wouldn't bother him at all. Maybe it was just all about the feeding for him. My moral standards just weren't that finely cut anymore. I sighed and turned to Jean-Claude. Since you went along for the ride with Asher's feeding, he may be able to feed off you through me. Jean-Claude nodded.
Perhaps.
If you touch me, while I touch Asher, and drop shields, we can try it. Between the two of us, I think we can get him back to a place where one blood feeding should be enough to get him back to his normal, glorious self.
I am willing to try, he said.
I fought the urge to glance at Richard. I know you are. I walked away from both of them towards Asher. I wanted to feed Asher back to health, but truthfully, I'd had about enough of all the men in my life for one night. Chapter 51. Jean-Claude and I knelt by Asher. He had gained enough from the first small taste to manage a smile. The smile was the barest phantom of what he had been, but I was so relieved to see it that it made me smile too. I gripped Jean-Claude's hand in my left hand and laid my right on Asher's cheek. The moment I touched him, he was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. Nothing mattered but to touch him. Nothing mattered but to be with him. Nothing mattered but Asher. It was as if the world had narrowed down to his eyes, his body. The sun revolved around him. I just knew it. In a dim part of my brain, I realized that Asher hadn't been using vampire powers on me. That whatever I'd felt before this had been real, because this was unreal. I'd never felt for anyone like this, because it wasn't love or even lust. It was obsession. It was the sheer knowledge that if I did not touch him, I would die. Even as I thought it, I knew it wasn't true, but it felt true. God help me, it felt true. I fought to free my left hand. Something was holding it so I couldn't touch Asher with both hands. I needed to touch him with both my hands. I laid my body on top of Asher and caressed my hands down him. His hands trapped my face between them, and in some part of me, I knew that they felt like old leather and sticks with strings underneath them. But for the first time when dealing with vampire trickery, I didn't fight it. I let Asher's power turn what might have been horror into something erotic and beautiful. I opened myself wide and let Asher roll through me like a stream, long, dammed, flowing, flooding, filling up a land that has been too long without water. I did not ride his power. His power engulfed me, rolled me under with a weight of 1,000 waves, pressed me to the bottom of the sand, and held me at the bottom of the ocean. It wasn't that I didn't drown. It was that I didn't care that I drowned. I woke, if waking was the term, with his body pressing me to the hard stone floor. I was staring up at a waving cloud of his hair. The light sparkled through it like a golden veil. I ran my fingers through it, and it was soft and alive again. The edge of his cheek was full and rough with scars again. I touched those familiar marks, and he turned to face me fully, and the sight of him caught my breath in my throat. From the curve of his forehead to the line of his cheek, the fullness of his lips, he was perfect once more. His eyes sat in that face like icy sapphires, set among pearls and gold. I laughed when I saw him, a joyous burst of sound. He cupped my face in his hand, and I turned to lay a kiss against his palm. The weight of his body against mine was one of the best feelings I have ever had, because it was proof that he was back, that he was well, and that he was whole. He half rolled and half raised me to a sitting position in his lap, with his back to the wall. He turned with me held in his arms to look across the room at Belmort. I did not have to see the look on his face to know that it was not an entirely friendly one. "Impressive, wouldn't you say?" Jean-Claude said. "No, I would not. He can only feed on the energy of those whom he has taken blood from and rolls their poor minds. You know as well as I do, Jean-Claude, that you cannot allow Asher to roll the mind of every victim. It would be a parade of love-besotted fools following him everywhere." I resented the love-besotted fool part, but I let it go. We were winning tonight. Never argue when you're winning. "Be that as it may, Belle, Asher is restored to his glorious self. We have no more need of you tonight. So, you and yours must be gone from our territory before tomorrow night." "You would truly slay all of us?" She made it a question. "Oui. My vengeance would be terrible." "No, Belle. By council law, you cannot chastise another Sardesan as you would another vampire of your line. Your hatred would be terrible, but your vengeance would have to wait." "Not if the head of the council agrees with my vengeance," she said. "I've touched her, Belle. She doesn't care about your vengeance. She doesn't even care about you, or me, or much of anybody," I said. "The mother has been asleep a very long time, Anita. When the sleep ends, she may retire from the council." I laughed, and it wasn't joyous now. Retire? Vampires don't retire. They die, but they never retire. It wasn't something that showed on her face. It was more a stillness to her shoulders, a movement in an arm. I don't know what made me see it. Asher's power or something else, but I did see it. And I had a wonderful, terrible idea. "You plan to kill her. You plan to kill the first darkness and make yourself head of the council. Her face was perfectly blank as she said, "Do not be absurd. No one attacks a gentle mother."